Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nations.
Thank you, Sam. Good morning, church. Thank you, worship team. You really ministered to me today personally. And thank you, Sam, for the prayer at the beginning. It was very powerful. I think the part of the beginning is usually, and we don't give it enough credit, but it sets the tone for the worship and the rest of the service. So thank you. Praise God. I'm very happy to be standing here again. This week I sought the Lord a lot on what to preach about, and for all the days of the week I didn't hear anything, mostly because I was feeling distant. I was feeling disconnected from God. I don't know if that's normal. That's just me. But I prayed and I asked God Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And on Friday, I got desperate. I thought of asking Joanne and saying, you know, do you ever feel blank? And when in those cases, what do you do? I couldn't ask Pastor Moses because as a pastor, I don't think you want to know that the person going to preach on Sunday is blank. So I said, no, I'll not ask Pastor Moses. So I continued seeking the Lord. And at some point, I felt like the Lord was telling me to just talk about what I'm feeling. Like, why don't you just talk about, you know, when God seems distant? And I said, but we are in a monsoon rain season. Everyone is feeling blessed right now. Everyone is feeling bountiful. I can't stand up and say, you people, sometimes me, I feel like God is distant. I said, no, God, I can't say that. And well, I felt like God was saying, okay, you asked me for what to talk about. I gave it to you. So if you don't want to talk about that, you find your own things. So I continued praying. And up until yesterday, I think even before I went to bed, I still wasn't sure. And I kept saying, God, send me something. I listened to YouTube sermons. I read things. I went to the Bible, all like my favorite portions, to try and connect with something. And I just kept feeling like, talk about when God seems distant. So today we are going to talk about when God seems distant. And I don't know if it's a word in season. I don't feel like it is, but it's happening to me. And the point when I accepted that this is what I was going to talk about, I decided to just write a letter to God. And I sat down, and I wish I could read the letter for you, but I write very long letters, so we'd be here for the whole day. So I just started writing to God and telling him how I was feeling, and I said, you know, I'm feeling this way, and now I feel like I'm not connecting, maybe because of this and because of that, and I feel like even when I pray, I don't even feel like it's a missed call. I feel like the call didn't even connect at all. I feel like I'm being blue-ticked. Like, you read my messages and you're like, yeah, I see you, but Kawa. So in writing that letter is actually when I came up with today's sermon. So I may not even share a lot from the Bible, but the things that came to me while I was writing, like the revelation, if I may, the revelation that came to me while I was writing that letter to God is what I am going to share today. So, in many cases, we feel like God is distant. God is not distant. It's us who feel like God is distant. That's why I said when it seems like God is distant. So, it's normally maybe because of the things we've been doing or the things we've not been doing. If you've not been obeying, you've not been praying, you've not been worshiping, you may feel like, you know, the distance is growing bigger and bigger. And when I was writing this letter to God, I remembered Psalms 139, 7 to 12, when David, I think, felt the way I was feeling. Psalm 139, 7 to 12. It says, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. And the verse that struck me the most was verse 8. It says, if I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. And in all my Christian life, I've never thought of God as being in hell. When you think of hell, we think, you know, it's a place for the devil. It's a place of suffering and gnashing of teeth. So I thought to myself, even when I feel like I'm in the valley of the shadow of death, well, this one is not even the valley of death, it's the shadow. Death is like lurking at a distance, but now when you feel like you're in the shadow, you feel like, man, God has abandoned me. But this showed me that God is omnipresent. So regardless of how I feel and how distant I feel like God is, He is still present. And when I was writing that letter, I thought to myself, okay, if I feel like God is distant, how come I can actually write to Him? So you won't write a letter unless you believe that somebody is going to receive it and read it and hopefully respond. So the fact that I was even in a place of desperation, but I was thinking, okay, God, let me write you a letter, means I knew that at some point it was going to reach Him. So this verse spoke to me because it showed me that God is, He does not leave us. He will not forsake us. He may seem distant, but He is there. And the thing with God is, while we, most of us human beings, work based on feelings, God does not work based on feelings. He works based on principle. His word stands through all situations. I remembered one of Joanne's recent sermons when she said, sometimes she won't feel the love from her husband, but she knows it's there. And that's how we should be with God. So sometimes we may not feel, because we want the feelings. I mean, when I feel, I don't know, like my friend maybe hurts me, and I feel like, ah, man, I don't want to talk to them for a few days. You don't stop loving them. The love is still there, but you may not want to talk to them for a while. Now, God, I'm not saying God doesn't want to talk to us for a while, but when we are feeling that kind of thing towards God, He is still there. The love is still there. And His word, when He says, I will not leave you nor forsake you, when He says, I will go with you, I will do this with you, He is still there. He's not going to leave us. So just because our feelings are down, we should not think God's feelings are also down. God doesn't work based on feelings. He works based on His word. And if His word says He will not leave us, nor forsake us, He will not leave us. His word stands regardless of how we feel. Now, in God's omnipresence, He has given us, I'll call them aspects of Him, to, you know, feel at different times. Sometimes you may not feel connected with God the Father, but maybe the Holy Spirit, you're high on the Holy Spirit. I sometimes differentiate these, as in sometimes I don't feel connected to God the Father, but I can go to Jesus and say, but Jesus, you were a man at one point. You are a man like me. So while I may feel like the Father will not understand what I'm going through now, the emotions I'm going through, I know that as a man you went through these emotions. So you're going to understand what I'm going through. So I'll not shelve God the Father, but I will connect more with Jesus. So in that omnipresence, I like to acknowledge that, you know, okay, I may not feel like the Father is hearing me, but Jesus the Son, Jesus who came down and became human so He could relate with me, so I could relate with Him, can still hear me. So I will still go to Him. And I know, of course, when I pray to Jesus, I mean, it's God. The Father will still hear what I'm praying. So I embraced that omnipresence in that moment and in that writing of my letter and accepted that God is always with us. He's everywhere, regardless of how I feel, regardless of what I'm going through, He's there with me. And while I was also writing this letter, I acknowledged that we are as close to God as we want to be or as we allow ourselves to be. There's this thing in our grace dispensation where you say, you know, I feel disconnected. And someone says, oh, we all go through that. It's a phase. It will pass. And I don't like to accept it because it's like you're saying, yeah, I'm accepting that. Okay, I'm not connecting with God now. It is okay. For us who understand the struggle with weight loss, when we have a desire to lose weight, we do not sit down and say, you know what, this time I will not, let me let the weight sit. No, you'll keep trying and failing. You'll go on diets. People go on fad diets. People work out for a week and then chill. And then the next week they are detoxing and then they chill, but they are still trying. So I don't like, personally, I don't like that thing that, you know, where we say, ah, it's a phase, we are going through it, it will pass. Because the more you relax in this phase, the more comfortable you get in it. And the more the devil feeds you lies, and the bigger the distance will grow, the distance you're feeling between you and God. So if you have the desire to be close to God, act on it. Even when you don't have the feeling. Remember what I said about feelings? Those feelings are ours. God is not working based on those feelings. So even when you don't feel like you can pray, and you don't feel like you can fast, and you don't feel like you can read the word, if you have the desire to connect with God, act on it, regardless of how you feel. I have had times when I've gone to the Bible to read, and I'm reading just a story. There's a time I was reading Deuteronomy. I think Deuteronomy and Leviticus are usually the most challenging books for me. I read them, I make notes, I feel like I've, you know, understood. I read till the end, and then after that I'm like, but what did I just read? Like, I don't feel anything. So I go back and I'm like, okay, I'm going to read until I hear the lesson that God is speaking to me or the teaching, whatever it is in this book. I'm not just going to read a storybook. So I force myself to go back, and chapter 1 may be hard, chapter 2 may be also hard, but by 3 and 4 and 5, I have gotten back in the flow. But if I sit down and say, you know what, I don't like these books, I'm not going to read them. Let me read Psalms, which are easy, and let me read Luke and Matthew. I'll miss out the lesson that is in there. So I'd like to encourage us that even when we are feeling distant and we feel like we can't pray and we feel like we can't fast, just go on a hunger strike for God. And tell God, okay, now I'm not fasting, but I'm going on a hunger strike until I feel your presence. So a few weeks back, we were here during service, and Pastor Moses said, you know, pray with your neighbor. And my neighbor asked me what I wanted to pray for, and I said, I want more of Jesus. And she said, but you can't have more of Jesus. Jesus has already given you all of him. And I thought about it, and I said, okay, yeah, I felt really stupid. So I said, yes, okay, I want to feel more of Jesus. I want to feel his presence. And she said, yeah, that's better. So even you, when you're not feeling the presence, don't say, okay, I'm going to chill until I feel more of Jesus. Jesus has, he really lay all of him down for us. So he's there for us to take. So get back in the flow, however you get back, whichever way you get back into your flow, force yourself if you have to. And, you know, our desires only remain, will remain desires unless we put them into action. I mean, I can stand here every Sunday and pray and say, God, please get me out of debt, 2019. God, I want to get out of debt, 2020. God, I want to get out of debt, 2021. If I never sit down and make a payment plan for those mabanja, I will get money every time, but the debt will not be a priority. So even as I desire to get out of debt, and as I pray to get out of debt, I sit down and say, okay, this person, I owe them 500,000, and I can afford to pay them 50,000 every month, and this is what I'm going to do. So regardless of if I want to buy 2 pairs of shoes or I have a wedding pledge to make that month, I will give that person 50,000. And that is how I'm going to get out of debt. So the desires we have, the prayers we are making to God, we'll say, God, I want more of you, or God, I want your presence. But we have to take steps to connect, to make that connection with the God who seems distant but is not even distant. It's us who are being distant. Now, God, while we are also trying to connect with God, we know God's word. I hope we know God's word. I hope we read our Bibles. Yes? We are learning to read our Bibles. So we have to read our Bibles and know what the word of God says. And once we have that word of God, let's go to Habakkuk. Habakkuk 2:2-3. It's a very common verse. I think everyone knows it. Habakkuk 2:2-3. It says, the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, that is if it delays or, you know, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. This for me is confirmation that every promise that God has made to us will come to pass. Again, regardless of how we feel, regardless of the presence and the connection, the word will come to pass. When Abraham was promised a son, you know, Isaac, through his wife Sarah, he still meandered and got Ishmael. But that did not cancel the word of the Lord. God could have said, you know what, you did what you wanted to do, now you proceed with that one. Or he could have said, oh, okay, now you have a son, let's work with this one. But God's word still came to pass. So if God has given us a promise, and by a promise I mean his word in the Bible. If you don't know his word, then I don't know your promise which you're holding on to. So if God has given us his word, it will come to pass regardless of how we feel, regardless of our how we try to please God with our works. When many times when we have promises, we try to like go ahead of God to do them. I'll give you a simple example. Pastor Moses was told he was going to start a church in 1998. And the church did not start until many years later. He could have said, you know what? I know I'm going to be a pastor of a church. Let me go and find space. Where do I live? I don't know where he lived at that point. Oh, he was at campus. Let me find space in Wandegea and invite my friends and we start a fellowship and the fellowship will grow into a church. So many of us, when we receive these promises, we want to go ahead of God to do them. And yet God has a plan. Yet God is working something out. So instead of waiting on God, we desire, and sometimes it comes from a good place because you want to serve God and you want to win souls and it's all good, but we are not doing these things for ourselves or by ourselves. We are doing them by God and for God. So you have to wait on God for that time when it comes, when it is the appointed time for that word. Verse 3 says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. That means there's a time for every promise that God has given us. So while we wait on those promises, let's not be discouraged and feel like God has forgotten us, like he's being distant. If God has told you you're going to be a pastor and you do not have a congregation and you do not have space, don't feel like, oh, maybe God changed his mind and I'm supposed to sing in the choir. Yes, you can sing while you wait, but the time will come. It is for an appointed time and it will come. So trust, keep the word at hand. Pray on that word. I find that when I don't keep God's word at hand, I tend to forget it. Now we live in a world where we are hit with different things. So If I'll run with this example of being a pastor, if God has told you that you're going to pastor a church, and then in the second year, you don't have a congregation, you've not even thought about space, maybe you're still a student, and then something happens maybe in your life, and the enemy starts saying, you think you can really pastor people when you behave like that? You think that anyone will listen to you when you live such a lifestyle? You think that this and that and that? And then if you do not hold on to the word that God has given you, it's very easy to slip and say, you know what? Yeah, I think that even God has moved on from me. So when I hold on to the word that God has given me, I find that it keeps encouraging me even in the down times, even in the times when I feel distant, distanced from God. Another thing that I learned that I need to do while I feel like, you know, there's a gap between me and God is to keep doing what he told me to do. Now, if the last time I felt connected to God, because we need to feel these things because we are human, he told me to sing in the choir. While I wait for him to speak to me again, I'll just keep singing in the choir. I read something in Luke chapter 2. Which reminded me of this very much. So look to verse 49. Okay, I'll give a little background. We'll actually read it later, but I'll give a little background. Jesus was born and he grew up with his parents. And then they went to Jerusalem. And while they were on their way back home, they couldn't find him. So when they found him in the temple and they said, you know, we've been looking for you. You've been stressing us. We couldn't find you. And then he said, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? Now, Jesus was still a child and his time to begin his ministry as we know it had not yet come, but he knew that he was supposed to be about his father's business. And for him, that was it. For all the time, the whole time he was growing up, he was about his father's business as a child, growing up. And then we see, when we go back, now we'll read it properly. Luke 2, we'll start at verse 21. Luke 2:21. It says, when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now, when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. And when we go ahead to verse 39, Now, okay, between that verse I last read and verse 39, they talk about other people. There's Simeon, there's a woman called a prophetess, I think, called Anna. Yes, and then we go back to Jesus at verse 39. It says, so when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon his life. It says his parents went to Jerusalem every year for the feast of the Passover, and well, that's when he got lost in that process. But it struck me that between Jesus being 8 days old and him being 12, I think when he got lost he was 12, we do not hear anything about Jesus. We do not know what was happening in that time. But we know that he was growing. I mean, a child between 8 days and 12 years, obviously he was growing. So during the time that we, sometimes when we feel like God is distant, we are also actually just, God is doing things in us. And we need to take our eyes off the circumstances around us and see what could be being cultivated in us. So during that time of feeling distant, you're hustling to pray. And maybe God is building resilience in you. And you're learning to connect with God even when you don't feel that connection. And maybe God is building you for a time later when you will not feel that connection, but you will need to stand on his promises and to stand on his word. And if we are always connecting based on our feelings, when that time comes, when there's no feeling, there's no emotion, and you need to stand on his word, you will not have grown enough to stand on that word. I think I would like to think everyone in ministry has that phase where you call and call and call on God and it seems like he's not hearing. But you go back and say, you know what, God, I'm not hearing you, but you said this, and for me, I will continue believing this. So during that time we may feel like God is quiet, we need to also look up at to like be motivated by what is being worked in us. So we don't hear about Jesus this whole time, but later we see that he grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So we don't have to be taken through everything. Like, you know, you'll go through every day saying, oh, today God blessed me like this. Oh, today I prayed and felt like this. No, there may be a gap in your story, but God has not gone away. You're growing strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God is always and always upon you. So take a look at what's happening in your life, not what's happening around you. Because when you look at what's happening around you, you're likely to feel like God is failing you and he has abandoned you and he has deserted you. Now, at the end of that portion of scripture, when we go to verse 51, after he has told them he's about his father's business, verse 51 says, then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. So Jesus knew he was about his father's business. You also know that you're supposed to be a pastor of a church, or that God has called you to lead congregations of thousands of people. But Jesus still went back with his parents and he was subject to them. During this time, we need to be subject to the authority we are under. Authority was talked about here a few weeks ago, so I don't think I'll even have to go deep into it. But it strikes me very profound that Jesus, who is God, even after he knew that he was about his father's business, still went back with his parents. He could have said, you know what, me, I have started my ministry now. I know what I'm here to do, so you guys go, I'll be checking on you. But it says he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to his parents. Now, sometimes we are placed under authority that we don't like. And we'll grumble between, you know, amongst us, amongst each other, and grumble because these days we don't like to be told what to do. I find, personally, I don't like to be told what to do. So I'll not look for other examples. So many times someone will tell me something and I'll justify it because, one, I have a reason why I did it in the first place. And it made sense to me. And two, it doesn't hurt anyone. And then there's this phrase of, but did you die? So sometimes people tell me things, but you know, as this and this, you can't do this. And in my head, I'm like, but it makes sense because it made sense to me. But at the back of my mind, when they tell me, I'm like, yeah, this person has a point. So sometimes authority may not even be that, you know, it's your manager at work or it's your parent, but even God's authority, which is manifested through the people we live with, we need to pay attention to it. And it may be in small things or in big things. It may be direct or even indirect. We need to be subject to authority in whatever way it comes. Now, I find that not being subject to authority is one of the ways I lose that connection with God. Because if I don't heed the authority, the simple authority that I have here on earth, how am I going to heed the authority in heaven, which I do not see? Because remember, the authority here on earth has more visible consequences. If I have a job and I need to be at work by 8 every morning and I don't show up at 8, there'll be consequences. I'll get a warning letter, I'll probably be suspended, or I'll start hiding from my boss every time I'm coming in, or start leaving the bag in the car so that they think I was already around. So, you know, the consequences are here and we see them, they are visible now. But with God, sometimes we don't see them immediately. We see them later, or even when they happen, we don't connect them to the disobedience. So if I cannot be subject to the authority which I see now, how am I going to be subject to an authority who I do not see and whose repercussions are not immediate? So being subject to authority, I find, is a very big thing. When I'm obedient to the authority I have here on earth, it makes it easier for me to obey my Father in heaven, who I will don't see physically, like the ones I see here on earth. And given that, I find that it's very important how we live in these times that we feel distant. It also determines how I reconnect with God eventually. If while I'm feeling distant, I'll say, you know, some people say they feel like God is not seeing them, so they can do things they wouldn't normally do when God is watching them. So how we live is also important, because based on our feelings and how we connect with God, many times we don't go to God because you feel like, oh, I'm guilty about this, or I have been living in sin. I don't think I can go to God. I'm not clean right now. I shouldn't be repenting. But that's a problem. That's an issue with our identity. Why do we feel like we have to be clean to go to God? Because he said he didn't come for the clean in any case. So you should know your identity in Christ and know that I am loved because he loved me. I am loved because, I mean, he created me. I didn't ask him. I don't have any foreknowledge before I was here. So he created me because he loved me. And then he gave me grace and he gave me his son, Jesus Christ, because he loved me. So he does not love me because I come to church every Sunday. Although coming to church every Sunday helps me. I'm not coming for God. I am coming for me because I am the one who benefits. But not coming to church does not mean God will stop loving me. I may not listen to my parent when they tell me something, but that doesn't mean God will stop loving me. I will face the repercussions of the disobedience, but God will still love me. So we need to know that God loves us and then continue behaving in a way you would behave when you know that somebody loves you. If you know your parent wishes you the best and they give you advice and say, you know what, I suggest, not even suggest, parents give orders. They say, I want you home by 5 p.m. When you know they love you, you understand that they are doing it for your safety. But when you doubt that love, you're going to think they are trying to suppress you. You're like, man, me, they want me to come home at 5, yet my friends are out until 7. But 7 is a decent hour. I can still come home. The sun is, you know, the sky is still light. You will not understand because you think they are doing it from a place of punishment and from a place of malice. But when you know that your parent loves you and they say, come home by 5, you know what? Maybe they don't want me out there late or stuck in the traffic and I have excuses. Taxi, what? The taxi ran out of fuel. Then I didn't have money for a border. Then I had to walk home. If you plan to be home by 5, surely you'll have a solution for all those things earlier. So if we know that God loves us, we'll continue behaving in a way, you know, we'll continue behaving out of love. Not out of distance, not out of God is not hearing me, God doesn't hear me anymore, he doesn't care. We'll know that he loves us, and even while we feel distant, we'll continue behaving and acting in a way that is born out of the love that God has for us. So we've seen that, well, Jesus was obedient to his parents, And verse 52 says, increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Now, it had already been mentioned that he grew strong in spirit and he was filled with wisdom and the grace of God. But I also find it profound that after they mentioned that he went back and became subject to his parents, it's when it mentioned that he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. So that time of obedience, that time of submission was important for him to continue growing. So we continue growing during this time as we obey, as we submit, as we keep connecting with God even when we are not feeling it. We continue growing even when we don't feel the growth. To give a very simple picture of growth, I have children, and because I live with them, I don't see the growth. I don't actually feel it. You know, you see them every day. They wake up, bathe, go to school. Then someone who hasn't seen them in a while is one who will see them and say, oh my God, they've grown. But I've learned to recognize their growth through their eating patterns. It can only make sense if you are a parent. Children have growth spurts where there are times where they are chill, they eat normally, and then there are times when they are like food processing machines. And you deworm, and you're like, Manangi, what's going on? Then they stabilize again. Now, at first it used to worry me, but then I learned that it's a growth spurt. That's when their bodies, I don't know what the processes they are going through, but their bodies are going through something. So you don't see that growth, but it's happening. And then, I mean, I can't say that I've seen growth between the time my son was 9 and between his becoming 10, but I know that he has grown. It is happening under there. So even us, when we don't feel it and we don't see it, it is happening. And at a later time, when you need it and you use that thing, that's when you'll say, oh, the last time this happened to me, I could not handle it. But now I am actually standing on God's word and I'm going through it stronger and better. That's when you realize that between the last time and now, you have actually grown. So you didn't see it. And he felt like God wasn't working, but he was working and the growth was happening. So just, you know, trust his word, trust that he's working even when you're not feeling it. Yes. So when I stand on God's word, for me, it brings me peace during that time. Now, previously, when I'd feel like God was distant, I would start checking myself and saying, you know, God is being distant because I did this. And I would actually start counting off the things. I would say, I did this. I think that's when it started. Then the other time when I did this, say, I think he was like, but this child, really, I can't deal with her. Then when I did this, I think this was the final straw. I think it was like, you know what? Yeah, this, I'm done with her. So I would go through that time with shame. I would go through that time with guilt. I would go through that time, even, I'll call it backsliding, because you think, even God has given up on me. He's not even watching me anymore. So really, why am I trying? So I would get worse and worse, and eventually I become hardened of heart. And this happens to believers, by the way. You're still praying and you're still believing in God, but your heart gets hardened in a certain area because you've stopped submitting and you've stopped being obedient. So when I stand on God's word, it gives me the peace that, you know what, even if I feel like God is distant, it's not because I have something to be ashamed about, because there's no condemnation. It's not because I am, you know, God is holding me guilty over something, because he's a good God. He wishes us well all the time. In Sunday school, we are made to believe that God is a, you know, like a grandfather seated somewhere up on a throne. Well, in the Sunday school I went to. And he's holding a stick and waiting. Eh? The moment you break one commandment, that's chivoko. Then you do what? So we have this really, really skewed vision of God, and many of us grew up with that. And it doesn't help that our earthly parents are like that. And of course, we begin to relate with God in the way, you know, it's like our relationship with God mirrors our relationship with our earthly parents. But I have come to learn through his word and through my experiences with him that he is actually a good father. There's no morning that God wakes you up and says, today I am going to punish this child because she did this. No. If anything, he's saying, how can I help this child avoid this consequence? So we have to understand that if we are going to continue walking in the love that he has for us. The moment we start thinking He's out to punish us and he's out to get us for things we have done. Then we start to run away from him. I mean, when I was a child and I knew that I'm not supposed to go and visit some homes, and my father went away to work and I went and visited, because I know he comes back at 5, I know that at 4:45 we will be headed back home. And that day he comes home for lunch. And you walk in at 4:45 confident that, man, I've beaten the system. And you see his car, you're like, ha. Now where do I begin? You guys, I would not enter the house. Would first sit outside and start plotting. Now what are we going to say? Then you say, okay, we'll say that so-and-so got a headache and we couldn't find medicine, so we went to the pharmacy. But now you don't have medicine. So when you went to the pharmacy, where's the medicine? And then now you go back to the pharmacy and start to make the lie concrete, you know, all those things. And for me, when I see God like that, I actually have to, that's the thought process. I'm like, now, do I go back to God? Like, what do I even tell him? Like, he's already angry with me. But when we understand that he's a good father and he's acting out of love, everything he does is out of love, not out of punishment, we will go to him more freely. Even when you have that distant feeling, you'll go back and say, you know what? I am here. Today I feel really distant, but I'm going to pray anyway. Because you know that he's there and he's waiting for you in love. So I go and I sit in my prayer space and I say, God, today I'm not feeling it, but I will talk. And if I talk and still feel empty, I say, okay, maybe I'll write something. And even when that fails, I'll say, you know what? I'll just play worship music and just sit here and enjoy the music, if for nothing else, but only because I know that God is there in love. Not saying you didn't pray yesterday, even the other day you didn't pray. Actually, even the other day you preferred to go for a wedding instead of reading the Bible. So today I'm not talking to you. No, I know that God does not work like that. He does everything that he does out of love. And when we go back to our scripture from Psalms, we will remember that there's nowhere we can hide from him. There's no situation we can be in where there's a block, as in God is surveying the earth, and for you, you know how they blip those things on TV, there's like a black thing. For you, there's like a black spot, he can't see you. There's no time. So wherever you are, and wherever you think you might hide, or wherever you feel you can flee to, he is there. He's omnipresent, he is seeing you, he understands you, he knows you, he created you from even before you were in your mother's womb. So he knows all these things that you're going through. And that's another thing that gives me comfort, by the way. I'm like, okay, I'm feeling this way. And now when I was preparing to preach, I was like, but God, in preaching, I'm supposed to go and actually minister to your people. I don't want to go and speak an empty sermon and leave and feel like everyone was like, but why didn't Pastor preach today? So I'm like, God, if I go and speak useless things, you're the one who will swallow. Me, I'm just a vessel. I'm just standing there to preach. And then I come to the knowledge that God understands all these things I'm going through. So he's not going to throw me to the dogs and say, yeah, you go and swallow. No. So I know at the end of the day that even if I'm not feeling like the word is a word in season, I know there's someone in the congregation who was waiting for that word, because I have obeyed and I have submitted and spoken the word that he has given me. So when you're feeling like that, go to Psalms 139. Actually, the whole of 139 is very beautiful for that feeling, because it really shows you that God knows you. He knows all the things you're going through. He knows all your processes, and he is still there. He'll not walk away just because you're feeling a certain way or you're not feeling a certain way. So stand on his word. Remember that everywhere, verse 10, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. So wherever, whatever you're feeling, in whatever state you are, his hand will hold you and he will always lead you. God bless you.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.